We're back for revenge.
Who do we need to get revenge on?
Oh, man. Who don't we?
Where do I even begin?
Right.
We're back anyway. Well, we are back for revenge, since we are discussing revenge today, the final episode of the Clone Wars Season 4.
Episode 22.
This is Star Wars Total Rewatch, by the way. I'm Aaron.
I'm Daniel.
What is this episode about? It's got a red title card again.
It's about Darth Maul again.
So we know it's about Darth Maul.
I guess to summarize, Mother Talzin just fixes Darth Maul just instantly.
With magic.
So he's back to his usual brooding self, but he has cool new robot legs, and he wants revenge on Obi-Wan Kenobi. So he threatens like a whole village and kills some innocent people or something just to get his Obi-Wan's attention.
Yeah. Yeah, he means it.
Yeah, which works. Obi-Wan goes to find him, and also Asajj Ventress, who decided to take the bounty on Savage Opress, and she ends up helping Obi-Wan escape the two Zabrak warriors.
Yeah, an unlikely ally. This is a great episode.
Very good.
I really enjoyed it. And it really feels like a season finale.
Sure.
The first three seasons of this show, I think the last episode was just something random.
Yeah, and then the first episode of the next season was always something random, too.
Yeah, I think they finally started, from this point on, I think they're a little more thoughtful about
that. Oh, that's how you, about that's, that. This is yeah. how you make shows. Right.
Yeah, this really feels like things are coming to a head.
And they could have just, like, had the previous episode be like the finale where it's like, whoa, it's Darth Maul, whoa. It's like, no, let's get a little more substance to go on to leave you hanging, you know?
Yeah, this is, and this is way better than, like, leave, because the guy we saw in the last episode was a very bizarre version of Darth Maul.
Right.
And this feels like, okay, this is somebody I recognize. Even though he is like, he has changed as a character in some ways, but he's recognizable as Darth Maul.
Yes. Just as far as the timeline goes, I think the previous episode was before Dooku attacked the Night Sisters. No, maybe not.
Ventress was already out on the bounty hunter team.
Right. You're right. Okay. I was kind of wondering because they show Mother Talzin in that episode just totally alive, like it hadn't happened yet. Where in this one, she's kind of flying around like a ghost.
She is a mysterious figure.
Yeah.
I can't figure out what's going on with her. She's like the Tom Bombadil of Star Wars.
There you go.
Can't quite figure out how she fits in with the rest of it, but she's here, and we just have to deal with it.
Oh, I thought you meant really creepy with green glowy magic.
No, he's a much lighter take on this. On that.
Oh, okay, I guess I read the wrong book. But we do see the carnage from that battle. And Savage didn't know that it had happened, so for him.
Right.
This felt a little too easy to just transform Darth Maul back.
I want to say they had some comment about that in the behind the scenes too. Like it was realistic for him to have gone that crazy.
Yeah.
But they didn't feel like, they felt like without using some kind of magic on him, it was a little hard to see how he'd come back to normal.
They can't really leave him crazy for too long.
No.
Because what do you do with that?
Yeah. So. She's just like, oh, here, let me just fix you.
Yeah.
She's like, pulling something out of his head, though? Is that like pulling out the clouds, the insanity or whatever, like letting him think clearly again?
It's pulling out a memory, like Harry Potter.
Kind of looks like it, right?
Yeah, it's like she can reach into his mind and take out the crazy. But that part I'm okay with because they have all this spirit magic, and who knows, maybe it's the Force, and there are ways to manipulate the mind with the Force. It's, you know, that's fine.
Oh, so you didn't mind that part. You're talking about fixing his legs.
Part of it is, it's like, okay, that's, we wanted to just very quickly get our old Darth Maul back, and it's like, fine. I understand that from just a logistics of making a show out of this.
Yeah, storytelling point of view. Yeah, I get it.
Insane Darth Maul. But actually, it was like the robot legs felt like, what is she, just some kind of expert mechanic that she can create fully functioning robot legs with magic?
Well, and it feels to me like that's the part you don't need magic for. Like, have a scene of somebody building those for him.
Yeah, maybe they have some junkers here.
There are plenty of people in the Star Wars galaxy who could make you a pair of robot legs.
What are the Ugnaughts?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I mean, that might have been a whole other episode.
I think that's why they just said, as long as we're fixing his mind, let's just fix his legs.
The last episode of called Darth Maul's Legs.
Yes. Which are still out there somewhere.
Right. But she built the legs out of super battle droid parts, because it was all these wrecked droids on the ground. I thought that's a cool idea.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't know. It's something poetic about it, you know?
Yeah, sure. Out of the wreckage of battle comes life of some kind.
He was leading the droid army, essentially, in episode one.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Savage gives him a lightsaber. Whose was this? Whose lightsaber is that?
Does he say?
He hands Maul his remaining lightsaber that was left after the Battle of Theed.
Darth Maul's lightsaber?
Apparently that was Darth Maul's lightsaber. One of the half of it that he had left.
I've got to think back to that battle again. Did part of it get left on the platform up there?
I don't know. They got it somehow.
No, they do. They cut it in half. So this is the other half of his lightsaber. Oh, that's interesting.
It's one of the halves, yeah. I don't really know.
I wondered later why he doesn't have his double-bladed lightsaber. And it's because he's only got one half of it here.
Well, right. And I was like, oh, man, but he kind of needs the double blade, you know?
Yeah.
But
I got to think. He probably gets it back later. I don't remember. Because, yeah, that's part of his thing.
Oh, I know.
And, like, to be honest, there wasn't a lot to him in The Phantom Menace other than he looked cool and he had a double-bladed lightsaber.
Right. Well, one thing so when he was crazy, he is just kind of screaming and mumbling. Mm-hmm. But now he's got his, like, kind of whispered voice that he used in episode one.
Yeah. At last we will reveal ourselves to the Jedi.
Yeah, and I always kind of wasn't sure if, like, is that just how he talks, or is, like, it's just like a weird Sith way of talking? I'm not sure. Because, I never really connected it from episode one, but in the second Knights of the Old Republic game, you have a crewmate who is a Zabrak, and he talks like this.
Oh.
I mean, Savage doesn't talk like that, but it reminded me of that character in that game a lot.
Hmm. Okay.
Which I really liked. Liked that a lot.
Right, because even when he's talking normally, he's still kind of just talking subdued, like this, a little more subdued voice.
Oh, yeah.
But with intensity to it.
Sensual.
Ooh.
Seduction. Ugh. Talk to me, Maul. Whisper sweet nothings in my ear.
I don't know about that. No, I forgot to say earlier, though, when he first is brought back to himself, I forget what the line is, but Savage says something to him about how the Clone Wars are going on and everything, right?
Right.
And Darth Maul totally knows about, he doesn't know that they're happening, but he's like, oh, of course, that was always part of the plan, something along those lines, right?
I have missed so much. The Force feels out of balance.
Yes. There is conflict. The Clone Wars.
Oh, yes. So it began without me.
Yeah, like that was part of the plan.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I think that's great that he knew the whole plan.
Right. Because
he was part of it, and now he's like, oh, so that's, okay, that's happening too. All right. Of course it is. There's a little more of that in other episodes too, where he basically knew what the whole plan was, or parts of the plan for Darth Sidious. I think there's some other episode where he's like, oh, that's how that was going to happen. Okay, that makes sense now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's really interesting because he's the only other character in this whole show that knows this stuff.
Right. Besides Dooku, he would probably be the most in the know of Sidious's plan.
Yeah. Where, I mean, I think we'll see more of his attitude towards some of this stuff.
Sure.
Oh, is his name actually Maul?
Yeah.
Because, like, Darth...
Yeah, 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 they do say...
Usually goes before a Sith name, but, like, apparently his name just is Maul, right? Mother Talzin calls him Maul.
Yep.
I forget if he says in this episode or not, but he starts to just go by Maul.
Right.
Like, he drops the Darth.
Yeah, yeah, and that's kind of, I was kind of touching on that last time.
It's like, he's like, the Sith dropped me, I don't want to be part of that anymore.
Well, right, it's like, is he a Sith anymore, or what is he? He's just mm-hmm. kind of...
Kind of like Ventress, he's got to figure out what he is going to be without that.
Yep. I feel like he and Ventress actually have a lot in common.
Mm-hmm.
If they ever took a second to talk to each other.
Stop fighting and then talk things through. Yeah, they'd, right. they'd say, hey, you know what? Maybe you're not so bad after all. But he is so bad. Like you said, he causes some death to get the Jedi's attention.
Right, oh yeah. Puts it very bluntly to draw out Obi-Wan. It's like, I will kill all these people unless you come and fight me.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's very calculating. He doesn't feel bad for them at all. It's just part of, this is what you do. This is what I need to get. I need to get Obi-Wan here.
He knows that will work.
And it does. He is correct.
Yeah.
I like how the Jedi are talking about it, though, and saying, we've got to send people with him. You know, they said to come alone, but we got to send an army or something.
Right.
What is it? Like, it's too strategically important to capture him.
Right.
Like, I think almost all the Jedi are just thinking in those terms, right?
Strategy.
Yeah, it's about the war, and it's about all this. Like, Yoda is the only one who is able to try and look outside of that. And he says, no, the Force is bringing them together. You know, we got to trust that that's what's supposed to happen. Let it play out. Right.
And Yoda is sensing that Ventress or somebody, but it does turn out
to be
Ventress.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I don't think he knows it's her, but he can. Yeah. He just can tell this is
have a part.
This is what the Force is doing. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, and so Obi-Wan goes alone, which is like, man, I guess that was what the Force wanted.
Well, I mean, you know, I can't sense
seems like
the
a
Force,
bad idea.
So what do I know? Yoda says that's what they're supposed to do. So.
What I like about this is kind of a step in Obi-Wan's journey as a Jedi, where this is an enemy that he fought before and beat, and now he's kind of back to haunt him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a Jedi trial, kind of, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
They face these trials and they're training, but it's like, oh, you know, you're never done training.
Well, and you see in this also how Darth Maul is getting his goat by talking about how he killed Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yeah.
Like, that's still, there's a lot of unresolved stuff in Obi-Wan from that.
Oh, yeah, totally.
This is a way of confronting that.
Right.
You don't see much ruffle Obi-Wan, especially in the Clone Wars. I've been thinking about that in the new, Mary and I were talking about in the new Kenobi show, how he's been through a lot more in that show.
Oh, yeah.
Where sure. I think in the Clone Wars, he usually just seems to have a joke for everything, and he just kind of brushes everything off, you know?
On the surface.
On the surface, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, you don't usually see things get to him, but you really see that his anger over and kind of feeling about sadness or whatever about Qui-Gon.
Mm-hmm.
That comes out, you see him really letting the anger fuel his fight for a little bit, at least.
Right. Initially, Obi-Wan is like, I don't know if I know who you are, because I kind of was like, I don't know, maybe he's even hoping a little bit that this actually isn't Darth Maul.
Yeah, I don't think he quite believes it.
Yeah, but then Maul is very clearly talking about killing Qui-Gon on Naboo, and it's like, oh, well, crap, it's really you.
Oh, maybe that's when he really, like, realizes or accepts, like, what's going on.
That's what I'm wondering, yeah.
Okay.
Obi-Wan is no match for both Darth Maul and Savage.
Yeah. Yeah, not a fair fight. They could have killed him, but, like, villains in so many shows, they keep monologuing. Or, like, oh, well, we'll save it for later. We'll really make him suffer. But
well,
gives him time to escape then.
Part of it is Maul wants to see Obi-Wan broken and, like, pleading for his life or something, which Obi-Wan is not going to give him that satisfaction, you know? So I think, like, even if Obi-Wan was going to die here, maybe that is the test, is will he break, even in the face of death?
Right. Yeah, maybe.
He's faced death many times before, so...
Yeah.
You know, part of the light side of the Force is to be at peace.
Mm-hmm. If it's the will of the Force, then that's how it is.
Yes, yes. Trust in the will of the Force, yes. Ventress shows up, and man... Well, Obi-Wan and Ventress are so much the same, as they're always just joking.
Right? We were talking about her and Darth Maul having stuff in common. She has a lot in common with Obi-Wan, too.
They've kind of sparred with their wits and, you know, witty banter in other episodes, I remember. So it is kind of funny to see them. But they are just picking on Maul, saying, oh, he's half the man he used to be. It's like, what a low blow. Well, it's too easy. Come on. And then Ventress says it after Obi-Wan said it. And it's like, yep, heard that one before.
Like, haha, you don't have legs.
Get that all the time. Come on. It's so unoriginal. I just thought it was.
You're like, you're so saying they've had so much experience with clever banter that they can do better than that.
Yeah, come on.
Come on.
It's too obvious.
Okay, all right. No, I think it's funny that they're still doing this. Even when they're working together, they're still, like, riffing off of each other.
Yeah. She didn't really have to save Obi-Wan, except that, I don't know, because Ventress came after Savage. She didn't know about Maul.
No, I don't think so.
So I think that she just discovered that she was totally outmatched as well, alone.
Right. And decides...
It's like, that's a scary situation to find yourself in.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, Darth Maul is scary, obviously, but they all seem really intimidated by Savage. Like, he's a beast.
Yeah, well, he is, you know, magically enhanced as well.
Yes, yes.
If you'll recall. Yeah. Well, yeah, even the two of them, like Obi-Wan and Ventress together, can't beat them. It's enough. They're able to escape.
Oh, yeah.
Together.
But I guess Maul probably took Obi-Wan's lightsaber. So at the beginning of this fight, Ventress usually has her dual blades. So she gives Obi-Wan one of hers.
Yeah, Obi-Wan's using a red lightsaber for a while.
Doesn't she say, like, I want that back?
I think, yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds like something she would say.
And Savage has his double blades. So what is that? 5 total red lightsabers.
Oh, going in one scene here?
Yeah,
maybe so.
It's a lot of red lightsabers.
Isn't that interesting to see a Jedi using a red one, though?
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean?
Oh, I mean, it's out of necessity.
Yeah, I know. But is there any kind of dark side?
Is there dark side force power in a red lightsaber?
I don't know.
There's something about the lightsabers being personally crafted.
Right. But he's still able to use it if he has to, I guess.
I think so.
In a pinch. It'll do in a pinch.
Well, actually... That's a kind of interesting topic to jump into. I think we talked about that in the 2D Clone Wars, the first time we see Ventress. Count Dooku just gives her those two lightsabers. Like, she didn't make them at all herself.
Oh, that's right.
Where I'm used to it being like, oh, it's such a personal expression, crafting your lightsaber.
That's right. We asked, do the Sith have to find, like, a red kyber crystal or something?
Something maybe like that. I don't know. So I wonder, like, you know, you could say, like, oh, you know, if a Sith is using this lightsaber, or they made this lightsaber, now it's got, like, some evil dark side power. imbued in it.
Right.
Which maybe it doesn't. Maybe they just gave her those. They're just right. Lightsabers to hit stuff with.
Okay.
There's definitely cases where, you know, it's like, oh man, this place is strong in the dark side. What an evil place.
Well, or if the lightsaber has been used for a lot of dark things, like, sure. Does that do something?
I could see a lightsaber, becoming some kind of object of the dark side. But I wonder if hers, aren't really that at all.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe not.
Could be. Probably not that much consideration went into it.
Okay, this is such a great fight scene, though. All of them just going at it, and Ventress and Obi-Wan teaming up together, and they're just like barely making it out of there too. Like it's very intense at the end with they're trying to get the escape pod to launch, and Savage and Darth Maul are both like doing
cutting through
the door with their lightsaber. Right. It's just like at the beginning of episode one, except for here, it's just like, whoa, you're on the receiving end of this. This is scary. Like we're like the Nemoidians on the other side
of that
still door.
Coming through.
Yeah. So that's cool. I thought was really great.
Oh yeah.
And Obi-Wan, like his hair is like not, you know, it's drooping a little bit, right?
the one fringe of his bangs that gets knocked loose.
So you can see how trying this has been.
That's happened before, yeah. That's funny. And we're left at that until next season. You're going to have to wait a whole year.
We would if we were living in the whatever year this was, 2012, I think.
And we didn't say the moral is the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Ah, yes. Is that from something or is that just like a saying?
An ancient proverb goes back to a Latin phrase.
Oh, yeah?
That I can't pronounce.
I bet I could tell you how to pronounce it.
I'll send it to you. Go ahead.
Amicus meus inimicus inimici mei. You can keep that or not if you want. Unrelated to this episode, but I don't know where else I'm going to fit it in. I don't think I've mentioned on the podcast that I went with my wife to a Star Wars live Return of the Jedi live in concert performance recently. It's one of those movies with the music track removed, and there is a live orchestra on the stage underneath the screen playing the entire soundtrack of the movie.
Right.
And it's pretty great.
That is great.
They did not sing all the Jabba's Palace songs. Huh. They left some of it in. But they did play a lot of the Ewok drumming and flute music and whatever in the background.
They play it on Stormtrooper helmets.
That would have been the most authentic way to do it, I think. But no, they didn't.
I think so.
Okay. Well, anyway, we'll see you all next time with season 5. Bye.
See ya. Bye.
It's a wrap.